Turn with me to the Revelation chapter 15. I'm going to read chapter 15 just now, but I call your attention to the fact that chapters 15 and 16 belong together. More of that later. Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Chapter 16 then lists those seven plagues. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion of the Revelation according to the promise of the third verse of chapter 1. Our study last Sunday morning, the Battle of Armageddon, the vintage, the harvest, takes place at the close of the Great Tribulation. And one would think one way that would be the end of our studies and meditations. But the book of Revelation, in one sense, is comparable to the four Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew being the Gospel of the Messiah, or the King and the Kingdom. Mark, the Gospel of the Servant of God. Luke, the Gospel of the Son of Man. And John, the Gospel of the Son of God. But these four Gospels cover the same period of time. And the book of Revelation, as any other book, picks up a thought and carries it so far, then goes back and picks up that thought and carries it on. So that when we come to study of the seventh seal, in the sixth chapter we have opened that which we were studying last week, the sounding of the seventh trumpet also opens the same period of time, and the pouring out of the wrath of God in the seventh vial also covers the same period. But they go into detail, and as John begins this 15th chapter, he calls attention to the fact of a great, marvelous, wonderful sign that he'd seen in the heavens. And this sign was the appearance of seven angels. Each of them having one of the seven plagues to be poured out upon the earth dwellers. Now there is no occasion to take chapter 15 or 16 other than literal. These seven angels that appeared are real, live angels. The song they sing is the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb. Moses sung this song after the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt and their safe passage across the Red Sea. The most interesting verse is to be found number 5 of the 15th chapter. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. This temple is a real temple, a literal temple, a material temple, present in the heavens. We've gotten so used to thinking of heaven and heavenly beings, heavenly occasions, as being phantoms, figures of speech, that it's difficult to grasp the truth that they're real. What greater statement of fact can we have than that God Almighty told Moses when building the tabernacle here in the wilderness to build it exactly like the tabernacle in heaven, of which God showed Moses a blueprint. There's a real temple in the heavens. There's a real God Almighty seated upon his throne in that temple. And at the right hand of that real God is a real Lord Jesus Christ seated. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Scientists are not at one in their belief or conviction, so to speak, of the presence of life on other planets. But I'm certain of one thing. There is a place out there somewhere in the heavens where there is life. God the Father, God the Son are there, as well as God the Holy Spirit. Enoch is there. Elijah is there. Moses is there. The 144,000 of the first fruits under Christ are there. Alive. In their bodies. And one day, when the summons comes to come up higher, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be caught up bodily, bodily, to join that number. And John saw this temple of the tabernacle open. And out of this open temple came seven angels, each one having one of the seven plagues. Now, in regard to these plagues, I call your attention to verse 1 again of this 15th chapter, the latter part, in which we read concerning these plagues and the wrath of God. In them is filled up the wrath of God. The wrath of God has finally reached the saturation point. The cup of the wrath of God is filled to overflowing. The tolerance of God, condescension of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, as far as this generation of earth dwellers is concerned, has come to an end. I think we do well at this point to remember the four laws of the harvest. Number one, to plant is to reap. To sow is to reap. Why else would one plant seed unless he expected to reap a harvest? The scripture says, as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Second law of the harvest, we reap like we sow. You sow wheat, you'll reap wheat. You sow oats, you reap oats. You sow barley or millet, you reap as you sow. The scripture says, if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The third law of the harvest, we reap more than we sow. Why plant a harvest if the prospect is not to reap more than you sow? I've stated those three laws to come to the fourth law, because it's this fourth law of the harvest to which I call your attention. And it's one man easily forgets or dismisses from his mind. And that is, there's a period of time between the sowing and the reaping. And just because you've sown and sown and sown and reaped nothing, don't think there is not a time of reaping coming. And that's expressed here in this verse, that these vials are filled with the wrath of God. Why doesn't God do something? It's not yet time. There's a time coming. There's a time coming. Now, verse 6, these angels come out of the temple with these seven vials, or seven bowls, as some call them, filled with the wrath of God. And as they've come out, we learn that one of the four living creatures gathered around the throne of God has given these seven vials to these seven angels. Then the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. We have had the temple filled with smoke, and we've had it covered and filled with cloud. The filling of the temple with smoke bespeaks the fire of God, which speaks of His judgment. The God of all grace one day is going to become the judge. Mercy changed to justice. Love to wrath. Now we have the wrath of Satan, which is far different to the wrath of God. The wrath of God being the love of God turned to the wrath of God. Now, in chapter 16, John says, I heard a great voice out of the temple. This great voice can be no other than the voice of the Lord God Almighty. There is a God, a real God, a living God. He created all it is. He holds everything together. And He's the goal for which all things have been created, toward which all things are moving. And here He speaks. A great, mighty, powerful voice. A voice that could be heard throughout the universe. He says to the seven angels. Now, angels are created beings, created for the service of God, to do the bidding of God. Innumerable. seven particular angels designated here. And this great, mighty, powerful voice issues a command. Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. These take us back to the beginning of the day of the Lord. I've called your attention 4 days that exist in the life of man. We're living in what the Bible calls the day of man. The day of man being where everything is set according to man's standards, man's hopes, man's aspirations, man's ideals. I believe. Without personating anyone and casting no reflection upon any family or family names, we're living in the day in which everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. Trying to keep up with another man or get ahead of man's day. Man's standard. Man's goals. There's coming a day when the day of Christ will appear. The day of Christ begins with the rapture of the saints. When Christ appears in the heavens and calls for his own to meet him, then we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the day of Christ. Simultaneously with the day of Christ, we have the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is marked by the Lord's dealings with the earth dwellers who remain after the saints are taken out. The day of the Lord and the day of Christ running concurrently. The day of Christ having to do with the Christians in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. The day of the Lord having to do with the judgment of God upon the earth and the earth dwellers that are left here. At the conclusion of the day of the Lord and the day of Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ then delivers everything back into the hand of the Father, and we go into the day of God. Now we're living in the day of man. It's coming fast to a close. Here, the pouring out of the wrath of God, the beginning of the day of the Lord. It has to do with God's judgment upon the lost. God's judgment upon those who have rejected the glorious gospel of the grace of God. So we read, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And many of these plagues were parallel to plagues God sent upon the Egyptians and through the ministry of Moses prior to the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. Yeah. Those in Egypt were real. These are real. A grievous sore. The sore that fell upon all of the Egyptians in the days of Moses also produced great blisters. And it was a type of a sore that could not be healed. Very painful.
Well,
few people realize that the Lord sends diseases and pestilences.
Yep. Temporary.
You recall during World War I? Far more died of German influenza than died in the war. But nobody apparently paused to ask, why the war? Or why this plague of influenza? God has innumerable ways and uses innumerable means to try to get our attention. How few,
but
when the pestilence arrives, go to the Lord. Living in man's day, we go first to man. And if this one cannot heal, we go to another and another and another.
Look.
Then we try all the homemade remedies that our friends have suggested. And finally, a doctor shakes his head and says, you better call the preacher.
I agree.
And then somebody says, oh, is it that bad? So, man conquers one disease, God Almighty sends another. He conquers that, he sends another.
As you,
nobody asks why.
Interesting.
The wrath of God causes this first vial to be emptied, and it brings grievous sores upon the people. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as or like the blood of a dead man. Corrupted, congealed, every living soul in the sea died. The Bible speaks of animals having souls. The Bible speaks of fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the reptiles of the earth having souls. That's true, because soul is synonymous with life.
You talk.
And Leviticus 17:11, which some have called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. How much says the life? The soul is in the blood. And every creature that has blood has a soul.
Paper.
And every living soul in the sea died.
Well, exactly.
Man distinguishes himself, or is distinguished from animals, by having a spirit. Darwin contended that man was just an animal and he had a soul and body. And preachers stand in the pulpit today and tell you that spirit and soul are synonymous.
And
thereby
furthering the heresy of Darwin. But man has a spirit, whereas animals have only body and soul. But man has spirit, soul, and body. Man is a trichotomous being and not just dichotomous.
The honor.
And every living creature, every living soul in the sea died. Blood. Blood.
Honor.
The bloodstream of the human race is corrupted.
Honor.
The corruption of the bloodstream is manifest. The institution of the feast of the Passover. The Lord told them, take an animal, a yearling, a male, without spot or blemish. Blemish was some infection of the bloodstream. The spot was the manifestation of that on the skin.
Something else.
Keep it 4 days. Ample time for any blemish in the blood to reveal itself by a spot on the outside.
The Lord. The Lord.
Man's bloodstream is polluted.
Damn.
I've had some doctors tell me that very likely there wasn't a germ known to man but what each of us had in our body. And according to the resistance for this or that, we could throw off this or that disease, and then at certain times when our constitution was weakened, then a germ already present in our body would take hold and we'd take off.
Egg.
The whole sea
changed
to blood of a dead man.
I'd like to have
putrefying, congealed.
What do you mean?
The thought of blood, Joseph, is sickening.
Rachel.
I can't stand the sight of my own blood.
You get
struck with something to draw some blood to see if I could give blood for transfusion. That was back in the old days when it was from my arm to the arm of the patient. When that blood came out, I passed out. I said, every time I call Houston, they say, we want some blood.
Preach.
I say, take all you want.
Sam?
I don't look.
Sam?
And I endure. Blood. The whole sea.
But ask you.
People worried about the sea being polluted. The
world
being polluted. Don't worry.
Last night.
When pollution comes, God Almighty's going to pollute it.
You said yes?
Look, if you will, the third vial. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of the water, and they became blood.
For them.
I would judge that takes in all the water.
For them.
Upon the earth.
For
the seas and the rivers and the fountains would all become blood. Water everywhere. But
sing
blood now, not a drop to drink.
And they hadn't.
I heard the angel of the waters say, some modern translator, no doubt, would translate that. I heard the commissioner of water works say.
See how many?
Well, here's an angel, the commissioner of water. That introduced to our thinking the fact that this universe is governed by God Almighty. And he has angels in positions of trust and responsibility. And he had one angel over the waters of the earth.
Redemption.
As we study redemption. Satan's kingdom, which is copied after the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we learn that Satan has spiritual kings over this nation and over that nation. Presidents over this one and that one. Governors over this state.
Work's done.
Mayors over this municipality. Satan has them.
Lord.
And they move and work and act through the flesh, blood, and bone officials that supposedly are put there by the people, but they're put there by God Almighty. Beloved, God's on his throne.
Secret.
And everything's under his control. And all is well. All we need to do is conform ourselves to the will of God.
Christ, human.
And get in line with the will and purposes of God. And this water commissioner says, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was shall be, because Thou hast judged us.
Done for the
for they shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they're worthy. They drink the blood of the men of God. Now let them drink blood.
Our work.
Let them drink blood.
Fleshly.
I heard another out of the altar saying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments.
I've seen it.
Oftentimes we indict God.
Tears of blood.
Oftentimes we condemn God. Oftentimes we judge God unrighteously and unjustly by saying, and something comes our way. What have I done that this should happen to me? What have I done that this should happen to me?
Another bill.
Angel from heaven says, O Lord,
foundation.
Thy judgments are right and they're true and they're just.
I don't know.
The fourth angel poured out his fire upon the sun. Power was given to him to scorch men with fire.
Mighty.
And men were scorched with great heat.
He
blasphemed the name of God
in
the power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. The sun becoming hotter. Than ever.
Too much.
Putting rays.
Fills
it out now. Will be allowed direct access to the body.
Impediment.
And men impediment. Force.
He should.
Today man can build cellars with several feet of concrete or dirt or brick to protect him from certain rays.
Those days.
But when this angel pours out his breath, has the power over the sun, there'll be no protection from the heat.
Something that
the lifting rays of the sun. The fire of God.
The man with it.
That's four vials that are poured out.
Hallelujah.
He has there the first vial.
Himself.
That noisome, grievous sore that
himself
comes upon the flesh.
Whereas
from which there's no relief. No surface of pain. no pure.
Making difference.
Then the sea is changed to blood. Then the rivers and the streams and the fountains and the water changed to blood.
The basis.
And then the heat of the sun penetrates whatever protection one might have. These are things that come upon those who believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These things will have none effect upon those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. We will have been caught away into His presence, into the heavens above, far above and beyond all of these things, transpiring
fashion
upon the earth.
Peter said, Lord,
why doesn't God do something?
Did I forget?
The ignorance of the word of God cry out.
Seven.
One day God's going to do something.
Time.
And that day is far nearer than you and I vainly imagine.
Gracious.
The sands in our glass time.
I'm feeling it.
Sing the last song to be sung.
Confession.
The last prayer uttered.
Thank you, Erica.
The last invitation extended to a lost person. Last opportunity.
How do we
to accept Christ as your Savior will be gone.
How do we can? I think the problem
is John.
Who
man and kill
of his condition
in agony, not for himself,
him father,
but for his side. Then
make me confess.
Go back and tell my brethren, I've got five and they're lost.
One of us.
Send them back that he tell them that they're not come to this place.
Brother,
today you stand this side of the pouring out of the wrath of God. Today you stand here amidst the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. Today you stand here with an opportunity to believe,
so maybe
to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Written in the land. These things.
Push it aside. Little realizing this might be the last time.